You have your Bible with you. The text for this morning is taken from Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the whole chapter, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and its enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like the soy, and whole like those who go down to the pit. Verse 13, we shall find all kinds of precious possession. We shall find our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse, my son. Do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own life. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner. Verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates of the city. She speaks her word. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of the my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruits of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancy. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of the fools will destroy them. But whoever hears me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Let us pray. Father, your word is indeed word of wisdom, and there are many stories in the Bible that teach us of your ways. Your way is a straight and a narrow way, because your word say, Lord, straight and a narrow way that leads to life, but broad and open is the way that leads to destruction. So I ask that as we listen to your word, you impart your spirit of wisdom unto every one of us. Let our words receive this wisdom, that we may make the right choices in our life, that we may end up well and strong. So we commit ourselves to you this morning. Anoint my lips to speak, Lord, your words of wisdom to the people, and anoint your ears of your people to hear these words of wisdom, that they may grow in the stature of Christ. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, as you all know, we have gone through the first few chapters of Mark chapter 1 to 5. And I want to just take it a pause, and I want to go into other topics. As you know, spiritual food is vitamin A to Z. Now, for chapter 1 to 5, we'll stop there. Maybe sometime end of this year, we'll continue from Mark chapter 6 onwards. So for the time being, I have a few other things to cover, a couple of sermons that I want to even preach and teach between now and then. And then I would like to go into the main theme of this year's message, which I will announce shortly. So this morning, I'd like to entitle my sermon, The Word That Imparts Wisdom. Next week, most probably, I will preach on the sermon called The Words That Imparts Life. All right, so we have read Proverbs chapter 1, and we know it is the words of wisdom. I'd like to start by saying that when we are all born into this world, we have only one life to live. And when we reach the age of understanding, that means maybe 10, 11, 12 years and above, we begin to exercise more of our own free will in our life. And because of our fallen nature, through the fall of Adam and Eve, we have a propensity to make foolish decisions. Now, we are generally not equipped to handle and navigate through the various phases of our life journey, either as a teenager, as a student, as a young adult, or as a working adult in our various careers or vocations, or as a married couple, or as a father or mother, or as an elderly person. So in short, we do not have the wisdom that is necessary for us to navigate through the highs and lows of life, the different circumstances in our life. But we are not left helpless, because God has given us a unique book called the Bible to mentor and to impart wisdom for our practical daily living. And the Bible is full of stories of men and women, some of whom have finished well and some of whom have failed in their life journey. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 says that now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So these are not written for our Sunday story, Sunday church reading. This is not written for our fictional reading, but these are written for us so that the Bible can impart words of wisdom into our life. And people have often bemoaned the fact that there is a lack of mentors in their life. But we have been looking at the wrong places. For many of the good mentors are found in another gallery, and that is called the Bible. And when we read the Bible with certain posture, with certain attitude, we will garner wisdom from these mentors. And let me just highlight a few of these various examples of mentors in the Bible. Adam and Eve taught me how some serious sin have what they call consequences in our life that last beyond generations. And on the other hand, Abraham taught me that about faith, how a complete obedience to God will leave a legacy that will last hundreds or thousands of generations. And that is why every Christian calls Abraham the father of faith. And Noah taught me that I can immune from God's judgment of the whole earth when I learn to totally trust and obey his instruction. And Moses actually tutored me about patience, not to act prematurely, and the importance of waiting for God's timing. And I also learned from King Saul that obedience is better than sacrifice. And Ruth taught me about love, about commitment, and about loyalty in spite of hardship. And this will eventually bring forth rewards. Samson, who is a very, a gifted person, who is very anointed, and he taught me that if I do not cultivate my character, I can easily squander away the power and the authority that God has entrusted unto me, and at the end up being blind and bring shame and disgrace to the Lord's name. And Joseph and Daniel taught me that if I honor him in all facets of my life, whether it's in community or in the workplace, and I choose not to defile myself and honor him, and God is going to give me grace and favor in the sight of the people. And he will make me the head and not the tail. And even in the secular workplace, in this crooked world, I'm able to excel. I'm able to be made the head and not the tail. And King Solomon taught me that power, wealth, knowledge, philosophy, and the pleasures of wild party, wine, and concubine are just passing pleasures that do not bring fulfillment and satisfaction. And at the end of his life, he says, all is vanity. All is vanity. And he says the conclusion of the whole matter in life is actually to fear God and obey His commandment. And this is man's all duty. And what an excellent summary. So here are a choice of a wide choice of top-notch mentors. And even though they had left the earthly scene for more than a few thousand years, yet they still teach, and yet they still speak, and yet they still encourage and train us, every one of us, in the wisdom of life. Now, encouragement is God's native language. God likes to encourage us. But encouragement without changes or obedience in our life amounts to nothing. It is like a car without a petrol, or a bicycle without a pedal. And encouragement can only turn into hope and into good outcome when God's instruction find our acceptance and application. Now, life will not run well in an autopilot mode. We have to choose to make the right choices to yield forth good fruits that bring delight to God and to ourselves. Many of us are at the various stages of our life, and some of us may grieve over the memories of foolish decisions that we have made. And they will say things like, I wish that I did this, or I wish that I did that. If only. Now we can start to let God tutor us the instructions of wisdom from His Word, from His Bible. The instructors of the Bible are ever ready to tutor and mentor us, provided we avail ourselves as a devoted and an enthusiastic student. Now we have a choice of instructors, and life has given us two good and effective teachers. And though both are very precious teachers, and I would like to name them. Now the first, then both of them don't come cheap. And who they are? The first teacher is called wisdom. And the second teacher is called consequences. Can I have the... Yeah, thank you. Now, while both of them are effective and good teachers, both of them require something of us. And we have a choice to make, either one or the other. Now, if you choose neither, the second one, consequences, will be chosen for you and us. And we can learn and experience a great deal from either of these teachers. However, take note, there is a big difference in their instructional style, in their teaching method. And for this, you must know. And let me tell you what is the difference of their teaching style. And I'd like you to make a choice which is your preference. The first point is this. While wisdom will amaze and delight us with her lesson, consequences will leave us injured, battered, and broken. And we'll lick our own wounds. The second difference is this. Wisdom is a meek and gentle teacher. Consequences is very, very different. And she is the type of teacher that is a tough teacher. She is a very cruel and she has no mercy. The third point is this. The enrollment and the recurring cost for wisdom is moderate or low. But the enrollment cost for consequences can be very high. And the ongoing recurring cost is often high, burdensome, and cruel. By the time we learn her lesson, the instruction will cost us years in terms of time, in terms of scars, in terms of injury. It may even cost our family, our job, our ministry, our arms, our legs, our eyes, our nose, our destiny, our future, our well-being, and at times, our life. So note that fourth thing is consequences have a high back-end cost. Few more clicks, please. Two more. One more. Thank you. Now, in our younger days, we watched televisions and movies. And then there are many fantasy characters like Superman, Wonder Woman, and all those likes. And being young, we are often very naive. And we normally like to have what they call this our favorite program because we are taken by fantasy. And then when some older people come along and try to convince, you know, young boy and young girl that they are invincible, like the cartoon or like all those characters, Superman, Wonder Woman, and they are invincible and they are strong, you know, they are able to run and crush through a wall and they will not hurt themselves. And then so the ego of this young man or young boy and young girl get, you know, get inflated. And then when the older people go on and try to convince them that because you are invincible, you can prove, you know, that you are the Superman or the Wonder Woman by rushing to the wall and crush yourself to prove the point. Some of these young boy and young girl will be taken in. And so suppose that a child believe and taken by this so-called fantasy and run full blast into the wall and he or she knock herself and then crash, bang, it goes. And then she or he breaks his nose. And then I ask you the question, what did the child learn? What did the child learn? First thing the child learned is the wall is hard and the nose is soft. Second thing is the wall wins and the nose loses. All right, that is a simple lesson he or she will learn. All right, what is the lesson here? The lesson here is don't run into a wall. You are not the Superman or you are not the Wonder Woman. Congratulations, you have garnered a pearl of wisdom from this personal experience that encompasses what you call the consequence of some suffering and pain. Now, you may think that this is a very simplistic example, right? But it is a very impactful illustration. For teenagers, they are subject to all kinds of temptation. And the peers will normally pressure them, you know, to try out the alcohol, to try out the drugs, to try out the sex orgy and the wild parties, and all the other silly things that the teenagers would like to experiment. And the storyline of the Satan is always the same. And he will whisper to you, or he will speak through your friend, and he said, these are exciting and these are thrilling stuff. And if you don't try them, you are going to miss out in life. And if you do not try them, all right, you're going to miss out the fun. Now, you will not, he says that you will not even get hurt even if you try them. He says that others may be hurt, but you are different. You will not be hurt. You are different because you are smarter in life than others. So you begin to believe this storyline. You say that you just try one or two or three times, that's it, you know, that will do. This is, the storyline is very similar to the storyline of Superman and Wonder Woman. You are the invincible one, you know, and they have taken the young boy and girl, is taken by the fantasy. When the teenager comes, of course, he will change a little bit of the storyline, but essentially, you know, the gist of the thing is the same. So one thing will lead to another until you will get hooked and you will get addicted. You then begin to experience the pain and the suffering and the consequences of life. And these are real, very real problems that you see in the society. Tens of thousands of youngsters, teenagers, got their life destroyed because of alcohol, because of drugs, because of drinking. You drink and drive. And they literally destroyed their life. Now, I'm sure that most of us will learn the lessons and garner some pearls of wisdom from a personal experience that involves some consequences of pain and suffering. Now, for each of the consequences that we experience, all right, we will gain one or two gems of wisdom. But there are many things in life that we have to go through and to navigate And it certainly, the whole of our life require a full bag of wisdom. Certainly, we do not have enough bones to break. Certainly, we do not have enough nose, right, to break. And therefore, in life, we cannot just learn wisdom through one teacher called consequences. So, learning wisdom from consequences is simply too costly. You will go broke one day. You will be totally broken eventually. And that's why the scripture in 119, the psalmist says, verse 67 to verse 68, he says, before I was afflicted, he says, I went astray. And this psalmist was recording the experiences that he'd gone through. He said, before that, I went astray until I was afflicted. But he said that now I have learned my lesson. He says, but now I keep your word. Keep God's word. He said, you are good and you do good. And says, therefore, he says, now teach me your statue. Now, next thing is, would it not be better that I learn as much as possible from the people in the Bible and for those who have gone before me, the wisdom of life without having to experience the consequences of unnecessary pain and suffering? And that means I choose wisdom as my teacher rather than consequences as my instructor. Now, if consequences have a high-end cost, one click, please, thank you. High-end price, that means the unnecessary pain and the suffering, then wisdom, on the other hand, has a low front-end price. It requires your discipline, it requires your obedience, it requires consistency and time. And it will gladly reward you with a good and a pleasant, good and pleasant fruits of life. Now, the biggest difference between the two teachers is this. Wisdom teaches you the lesson before you can make any mistake. But on the other hand, consequences demands that you make the mistake first. Then it will teach you the lesson thereafter. So, for example, wisdom would actually put a wall or a boundary, a fence, at the edge of the cliff. But then consequences refuse to put this boundary and these fences around the edge of the cliff. And it says, I'm all right. It should be all right. I can try all these things. It's not dangerous. And as a result, what happened? Bang, you go, you fall into the cliff. And then what happened? The consequences were, as a teacher, will visit you in the hospital with broken legs and broken hands and broken bones. And that is why Proverbs verse chapter 22, verse 3, it says, a prudent man, that is a wise man, he foresees the evil and he hides himself. But the simple or the simpleton or the fool pass on and are punished. So all the silly mistakes that men make in life, whether as a teenager, as a young adult, as a husband or wife, they are all nothing new. It may take different form, but then the essence of it is the same. There are many clear instructions from the Bible that teach us what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. And that is why another psalmist records in chapter 19, verse 7 to verse 8. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the word is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. So the law, the words of the Bible, is in the form of a law, in the form of a testimony, in the form of the statute, in the form of commandments. It says all these things are perfect. They are sure word. You can be sure of that. Not, you know, half-hearted, not sure, but you can be sure it is always right and it is pure. It is tested, and you will be fooled if you are not to follow it. If you and I refuse to learn, we are just called simpleton in the Bible. We are called naive. We are gullible. And God's words even call us fools. So if we catch this life principle in the Bible and apply it in our life, It will save us years of time, lost time, and unnecessary pain and suffering and sorrows in our life. Now, while there are two teachers, wisdom and consequences, there is another aspect, is there are two pains. The first one in life, and there are two pains, and both can cause suffering, but one moves you forward and the other one sets you back. The first pain is called discipline. The second is called regrets. The wisdom that the Bible offers us requires our discipline. Discipline to extract the word from the Bible and discipline to obey the word. Now, discipline does cause some pain. Spending time in the Bible is a discipline. On a regular basis, is a discipline. But of course, it is not always convenient. It is not always comfortable. There will be days that you find it is all right. You have no problem doing it. But there will be days that you find that it is the last thing that you want to do. Because for some reason, you feel that you are just swimming upstream along a river. And everything, every feeling is coming against you. And it is a drag. Now, the discipline of obedience to the word is even harder. However, if your word life is not there, you can be assured that it is very, very much harder to carry out the obedience to the word. Why? Because the life is in the word. The life in the word is the thing that will cause you to obey. And if you do not read the Bible, if you don't spend time with God in the word, then you're very weak. You're not able to overcome, you know, the weaknesses that are in the flesh. And therefore, it is extremely hard for you to obey. Right. So what is the alternative? The alternative is regrets. The pain of discipline, that means time and obedience, let me tell you, it's caused you far less than the pain of regrets. Therefore, it is worthwhile paying the price of discipline. Now, God took 400 over people on earth to put this raw, unedited story into a library of books called the Bible. And He compiled it into 66 books. And then all these books are about the life journey of men and women, kings and slaves, soldiers and prophets, housewives, prostitutes, fishermen, scholars, and household, and a whole host of other characters. Now, God does not cover up. And He told the story as it is. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And even for King David, the man after God's heart, God talked about his successful story as well as his failures, as well as his some of the serious sins that he committed in his life. And that is the act of murder and the act of adultery. And then David in the story, if you go and read Kings or Chronicles, you will begin to understand, subsequent to these two sins, actually he went through, you know, hard time. He has to face a lot of consequences in his life. So brothers and sisters, and even though after you have sinned, God forgives you, but you must never forget, you still need to face consequences in your life. God forgives you. When you cross this earth and go into eternity, you will be in heaven. God totally forgives you, and you know He will not count anything against you. But there is a difference. On earth, sometimes we still have to suffer consequences. I illustrated some of this story before. Suppose a young man, stupid, go and drink and drive. He crashed into a lamppost, and he may broke his arms or leg, or he may paralyze himself, or he may even kill someone else. And after that, you can repent. God forgives you. But don't forget, you still have to suffer the consequences for the rest of your life. So, you do have not all the bones to break. You do not have all the nose to break, so on and so forth. It is better to learn from the wisdom which is in the Word of God. Now, why did God put all this story together? It is for us, for our learning, for our instruction, for our admonition, for our success, for all time and for all eternity. You walk through the life of Adam, of Noah, of Abraham, Moses, King David, King Solomon, and many others. They are saying to us, this is what I did wrong. This is where I make a foolish mistake. Now this is where I did right. And these men and women have left with us, you and me, with a legacy of life skill. This is a legacy for your taking. And if you're hungry and you're willing to learn and you want to ask God for wisdom, God will impart the spirit of wisdom into you. If you ask Him, like the scriptures say, those who lack wisdom, let him ask from God. And God will pour out wisdom, will give you wisdom liberally. That means God is more than willing to pour out his wisdom upon you. And therefore, wisdom is something that is, this wisdom is something that is from above and not below. There's a big difference between godly wisdom and earthly wisdom. So God's wisdom will save you and me from all the unnecessary heartache and pains well beyond our imagination. Now, what is wisdom? Having said so much about wisdom, what is wisdom? Now, wisdom is not IQ. It's not intelligent quotient. It's not EQ. Now, there are many intellectually very bright person out there, professor and PhD and so on, holder, so on and so forth. But it does not mean that they are wise. And so you must make a difference, or you must know the difference between wisdom and IQ. Now, man, for some of them, their life and their end is full of regrets, sorrows, and pain. And their life, some of them may even be in a total mess. And it does not have to be that way. Because wisdom is not a rocket science. You do not need a high IQ or EQ. You don't even need to go to a university to find wisdom. And this is why the passage that we have just read in Proverbs chapter 1, he says, I am available to you in all the ordinary places. Open square, city gates, road junction, concourses, so on and so forth. And what God is saying that any ordinary person, you know, can find wisdom, and that is from Him. So the key question God is asking is, are you willing to receive my counsel? And in fact, the scripture says, wisdom begins with God. Because in the book of Proverbs, it says, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of God is beginning of wisdom. The knowledge God talks about is not the worldly knowledge. He's talking about the God's kind of knowledge. So it starts with God. It says the fear of God, and it starts with the fear of God. And if you have a fear of God, then that is the starting point. Then progressively you go into His Word and you begin to read His Word with a certain posture and with a certain attitude. Then the spirit of wisdom is progressively infused into you. And it's why Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2, there are seven anointing that is available from the Lord. And one of them is the spirit of wisdom. There's a spirit of counsel, there's a spirit of wisdom, there's a spirit of mind, so on and so forth. But there is one spirit, is called the spirit of wisdom. And as you grow in His Word, as you grow in the Spirit, as you seek Him, alright, the spirit of wisdom, it will be infused into you. So it's a progressive thing. Alright, so it is not IQ, it is not EQ. So where and whom do you want to learn the wisdom from? God say, you can learn it in the storm of consequences, or you can learn it in this century like this, you know, through the preaching of the Word, through the teaching of the Word, or you can receive it in your quiet devotion time with the Lord. When you read the Scripture, don't read it just as a go through the motion, the kind of thing, but you read it, you know, with the zeal, with passion, with enthusiasm, that you want to learn from the Lord, the wisdom of God will grow in you. And there was a scripture in Psalm 73. And there was a man that was very confused and he see all the things. And then he said that he was so confused that he went into sanctuary and then something happened. The God began to reveal to him certain things. He said that he was so confused until the moment he stepped into the sanctuary. Then he began to understand the ways of the Lord and he begins to understand their end. And then because God has begun to impart wisdom to him through that encounter. So let me recommend to you. Now, is it better? It's better and it's wiser to learn wisdom in the Word, in the church, in your home, in your quiet time, and in your worship and in your devotion. The question I'm posing to you is this. Which teacher did you want to employ? Do you want to employ the first teacher, which is wisdom, or the second one, which is consequences? Now study all these characteristics carefully. There is a big difference between these two teachers. Do you want to be amazed? Do you want to be delighted? Or you want to be, you know, left licking your wounds? The choice is yours. Do you want to have a meek and a gentle teacher? Or do you want to have a tough and a cruel teacher? Again, you choose. Do you want to pay moderate enrollment costs, low recurring costs? Or you are very happy to pay a high enrollment cost and a high recurring cost? Broken legs, broken arms, or paralyzed for the rest of your life. Things of that order of magnitude. Or do you want to pay a low front-end cost, or you are willing to pay a high back-end cost? Do you want to be taught the lesson before the event, or you only want to be taught the lesson after the event? So, brothers and sisters, the choices are in front of you. You have a choice to make. The next thing is, which pain do you prefer? Do you prefer the pain of discipline, where we are willing to, you know, receive wisdom through a regular, consistent study of God's Word, where infusion of the wisdom shall come upon you, the infusion of the Spirit, or couldn't be bothered? You are willing to pay the price of regrets of pain, scars, injury, broken legs, broken arms, so on and so forth. Now, the Word of God that we just read in Proverbs chapter 1 says it very clear. How long will you ignore me? How long will you refuse me? And he even begin to warn every one of us. He says that if you continue to ignore me, if you continue to walk in your own folly, he says when destruction and when anguish comes, he says, I have no other choice but to laugh at your calamity. So don't wait until you face the calamity and the destruction and then you called upon the Lord. By then, you will have to live the consequences of your life. And therefore, carefully review these two teachers and carefully make a choice of which teacher that you want to engage. And also, remember, for both of them, there is a price that you have to pay. There is certain pain that you have to go through. Do you want to go through the pain of a discipline, which is small, compared with the pain of regrets? So, brothers and sisters, I hope this message will highlight to you the importance of wisdom and where you receive the wisdom and the consequences of your life choice decisions.